Hello, and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. My name is Natalie Harms, and I'm editor of Innovation Map. Today, my guest is Richard Seeline, managing partner of Resilient H2O Partners. It's hurricane season, and Houston is no stranger to flood damage. Richard and his team at the Gulf Coast and Southwest Resilience Innovation Hub are fostering InsuraTech innovation so that Houston and its residents are prepared for the next natural disaster. Richard, thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm looking forward to it, Natalie. Thank you for all the great work that you do and Innovation Map does for the city and the state. So it's great to join you.
Awesome. Well, and speaking of the city and the state, I am especially excited to have you on because it's hurricane season and a lot of your work has a lot to do with that. So before we launch into the nitty-gritty of that, why don't you tell me a little bit about your career, kind of how you got to where you are today?
Well, where I got today is based on a lot of great mentors and folks helping me along the way. So it's not my own doing, but I am a fourth generation Houstonian. And oddly enough, there is a little anecdote to how I tie to hurricanes. And that was that my great grandfather moved from Galveston to Houston in January of 1900. If he had stayed in Galveston 2 or 3 months longer, he would have been a victim of the massive hurricane of 1900. So, but my family's a fourth generation family. And so I have been fortunate to have been in both a family business and a corporate setting in my life. Went to school in Houston, Bel Air. Went to UT Austin for college, got involved in politics at a very young age and mentored by Bill Archer and Mossbacher and Baker and folks. And then along the way, I also came back to Houston after being in Austin doing a lot of political fundraising, Natalie, and got involved with my 100-year-old family business. And then after serving there for 4 years, got recruited to become the assistant to the president of MD Anderson Cancer Center, which was really my first true introduction to technology and technology development, because you can only imagine this was before TMX, right? Then I was recruited to join the Bush 41 White House and administration. So my wife and I moved to Washington, D.C., which is another step in the career around technology, because I was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Economic Development, which was one of the catalysts for investing in a lot of regional technology clusters and all. And then fast forward, I started a consulting company. And along the way, that got me working with Greater Houston Partnership when it was still the Houston Chamber. Did the precursor to the Bio-Houston strategy. Mm-hmm. And then because of my partnership and relationship with several governors, still living in D.C., is how I got to be one of the co-authors of the CIA's venture capital fund called InQtel, which is still around, a $250 million a year fund for the intelligence community. I got a phone call one day from then Governor Perry saying that he wanted to do something around Natalie technology and investment. And that's how we launched the whole cluster initiative that led to the Emerging Tech Fund. So I've had all this fun, opportunities to do all of this. I got a phone call again from Governor Perry and business leaders saying that the state had gone into the drought 2010-2011, and they wanted to try to do some new things. And that's how we launched Accelerate H2O in Texas around innovating water for both public and private interests, public utilities, private industry. Fast forward about 2 weeks, Natalie, before Hurricane Harvey hit Houston and Texas, I got a phone call from folks at UT Austin and A&M College Station telling me that all of the models were showing how bad the hurricane was going to be. And we did a global call out of that for skid-mounted energy independent units that could either create drinkable water or help clean up storm flow only for the private sector, only for the private sector. Because we felt that FEMA and government would take care of government, as they often should and do. We found in 72 hours, we had 28 technologies from around the world, including the Minister of Energy and Infrastructure from Israel through the Consul General in Houston, identified equipment that could generate 30,000 gallons a day of water for 14 days, drinkable water. They deploy that for the UN and other interests around the world. So out of all of those lessons, Natalie, learned from Hurricane Harvey, a couple of things came back to me that essentially set in motion what we're going to talk about now, which is resilience and investing in resilience.
So yes, I do want to talk to you about resilience and in Houston and how it applies to, you know, Houston's innovation ecosystem. So I guess now it's a few months ago, you and some other parties launched the Gulf Coast and Southwest Resilience Innovation Hub in Houston. So before we talk a little bit about what that is exactly and how it affects the greater Houston community, tell me a little bit about how it got its start and why we need something like this.
Again, Harvey was an eye opener and lessons learned, right, for all of us in lots of different ways. But one of the things that I observed over the past 3 years is who has been impacted outside of citizens and businesses and communities. Who's been impacted the most by, you know, five different floods, you know, of which, by the way, Natalie, we have to remember, of six floods that came into Houston, only one of them really came off of the Gulf Coast. Mm-hmm. Most of the floods came down from Austin and San Antonio, from the Hill Country, right? But then there's also been fires, spills and leaks and fires on the ship channel and all. So quietly about 2 years ago, I went up to Washington and spent a lot of time with Congressman McCall, who was then head of Homeland Security Committee, and I spent a lot of time with the U.S. Chamber and others. But one of the groups that I have spent a significant amount of time, as a matter of fact, Natalie, we moved Invest H2O, our annual investor forum. The first 3 years were in Austin. The last 2 years have been in Houston. So 2 years ago plus, we moved Invest H2O, specifically one of the invitees as a keynote panel was the leadership of Munich Re, which is one of the top global reinsurance companies, who had done a study post-Hurricane Harvey about the impacts of insurance and all on homeowners, businesses, and all. So fact be known is when you lose $1 trillion, it's $1 trillion on the U.S. Gulf Coast, the insurance and reinsurance industry has only a couple of choices. A, they abandon the market, which they did in Florida at one point. They raise rates significantly, which they can and have already, right? Or they start thinking about what we define resilience, which is pre-disaster risk mitigation, meaning you put the money into facilities, infrastructure, and especially technology ahead of an event so that it reduces the loss of life, loss of property, loss of business. At the same time, while that was occurring, FEMA and HUD, Housing and Urban Development, were also getting pushed by Congress to stop funding the way things have been built before and start moving money towards, again, this pre-disaster risk mitigation. So our partner is the Insurance Information Institute, which is the oldest institute. It really is kind of the think tank and research entity for all of the national and global insurance. So the USAAs and the State Farms all the way to the Prudentials. And while they have been investing, Natalie, in what has been traditional insurtech, which is really thanks to help improve for, you know, the insurance companies themselves, for, you know, for their workforce, for their agents. What's really been underway quietly is a move towards investing in technology and projects that reduce their future losses. So combined between the private insurance and the federal insurance, what we've done now is partnered with the Insurance Information Institute in what their umbrella is called the Resilience Accelerator. And their accelerator really isn't a physical place. It is an initiative to connect us with over 400 points of contact that are investing in technology and projects. So, for example, who knew that State Farm and AAA in California have venture funds? Right? Yeah. All the way over to the Nature Conservancy, which is really kind of an environmental, you know, nonprofit. They have their own venture fund. So our effort has really been to tie the insurance and reinsurance community into this next step of innovation and investment.
Yeah, it's really surprising to me because I think, you know, people might think that if a natural disaster occurs, you know, you can only react to that. You can't necessarily create, you know, things to prevent that. We're not magicians, but in actuality, there is a technology that can help in that. And so what, you know, this hub is doing is kind of connecting the dots between all of the parties, the innovators, the insurance groups that, you know, want these technologies, because it obviously helps their bottom line after a natural disaster. And before this hub, and it's, would you have, you know, would you describe it as, you know, kind of hard to connect those dots, hard for the entrepreneur or the inventor or the innovator to reach out and to have those conversations?
Yes, but it's worse than that. Just say it that way. Okay. It's two different languages.
Yeah.
Right? It's to some degree what Innovation Map's about. Okay. Y'all are playing this translator role. Okay. And that's a part of what the partnership with the Insurance Information Institute and the canon is there's a whole language and a whole mindset within the insurance industry that is not real well known. All right. We think, you and I think, that we buy an insurance policy and that there is a company that sells us that product. All right. The reality is that in these large insurance and reinsurance companies, they do project investing. They look for technology. Some of them are actually got demonstration, internal demonstration projects that they do in testing out technology. So part of it has been to find a way to connect the language of here's what insurers are looking for. It's the reason why we're doing reverse pitches, by the way, where the insurance industry is saying, stop bringing, you know, a hammer, let's tell you what the nails look like. These are the things that we think are really, really concerning for us. Okay. So that's part of it, is just playing that translator role. And then the second is how more efficiently and effectively we can connect the dots between early stage, growth stage technology and equipment to that end user, that investor base. Okay. And then, Natalie, the third part of it is that whoever you have your car insurance, okay, our car insurance is with GEICO. So whenever I buy or lease a new car, after they ask me the basic information, they start asking me, do I have a rear view camera? You know, do I have anti-lock brakes? If I have those, I get a discount. That is where we are moving to and partnering with the insurance industry, is to identify ways to provide incentives, reductions in rates, other means of helping homeowners and businesses and even governments use these technologies to reduce the future losses, the future impacts, and therefore, how can you be incentivized? How can you, in a sense, benefit from it?
That's really cool to know that that's something coming about, because I know a lot of people who had flood damage during Harvey, for instance, they rebuilt. They put all of their own money after the insurance payout or whatever to, you know, protect themselves from the next flood, because as we've seen, it's, you know, they're not one-off situations, unfortunately, especially in Houston. So to know that there's that conversation being had on the other side of the table, I'm sure is super encouraging to people who are willing and able to invest in those types of new technologies to protect their homes. So I wonder.
But let me use an example of something. Sorry, let me use an example. So there were 500,000 cars that were totaled out as a result of Hurricane Harvey. 500,000 cars. Okay. Mm-hmm. That creates significant impact, obviously, for the owner who needs to get to their job or school or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But there's another issue. What do you do with all those cars that now have been totaled? That's a big debris, big, right? Mm-hmm. If there's a way to protect your car from flooding, would you not put a little bit of money into that? So that's the reason why we looked at ClimateGuard, mm-hmm. which is a Houston-based company, okay? All the way over to, Natalie, this idea that you have an opportunity to do a lot around your home, mm-hmm. to protect your home, okay? There's technology that we found from Denmark that we're partnering with, right? We're identifying. So while the hub is based in Houston, this is really a national and to some degree about ready to become an international node, right, in the way of reducing future losses that can be done more efficiently and effectively.
I'm glad you brought up ClimateGuard, because that is something that I wanted to talk to you about. ClimateGuard and FloodFrame, both having a Houston presence, and being innovations in a way that came out of Harvey, and how that affected people and thinking how we can protect that. And so I think it's really interesting that these companies that are existing, you know, as consumers, they want those those innovations. And now you're seeing, and as you're explaining, those insurance companies also want consumers to have those innovations as well. And it seems like the hub is made this conversation happen in a way.
Right. And to play off what you were saying about connecting dots. Okay. Yeah. So whether it's Geico, USAA, or whoever, you know, Liberty, whoever you've got your car insurance with, okay? The fact of the matter is, you and I have to go to a dealership, right? We've either going to lease a car or buy a car from a dealership. So now what part of this is I don't think it's really, Natalie, so much about the technology. You and I both know there's a lot of really smart entrepreneurs and innovators in Houston, you know, large United States at all. So it's not the technology, and it's really not the capital, because there's more capital, even in the quote unquote COVID depression that we're going through, right? What part of it is how to put the business model together, right? So some of these are going to be either straight up private equity investments, where I'll take a piece of a company. Others are strategic partnerships, where what I'm really trying to do is connect the dots of somebody who has a means of distribution. Because I always felt from all my work with entrepreneurs, the best investment you could ever have is an invoice. It's a non-dilutable investment, right? I get an invoice and it pays for something. I don't have to give up equity. So I think that's a part of what we're doing here, is looking at what the appropriate business models are for some early stage. And frankly, we're looking at mature technologies that can be applied to solve relevant problems now. And that may mean helping them pivot to how it applies to solving an existing or emerging issue in resilience.
Right. And one thing I want to ask you about, or I guess just bring up to discuss, is how the hub is fostering these conversations through different avenues. And one of them being these unfortunately virtual only at this point events. But so I want to bring those up and talk to you a little bit about the events where you're having these insurance representatives and these entrepreneurs in the same space, virtual space, of course.
Well, and look, we would have to be virtual anyway, because this is intentional to be a regional, national, you know, perspective. Okay. So there's a couple of ways that we're doing things. And then when we get a chance to be all back together again, it will evolve, still some virtual, but it'll evolve, you know, in person. So we are, with the Insurance Information Institute and others, we are co-hosting national town halls. That is an opportunity for, I hate to call them thought leaders because it sounds too ethereal, but it is really to get the insurance, government, private sector really talking about what you and I have actually been doing now. And that is, okay, what can we do to change the landscape for protecting citizens and communities? How can we invest in these technologies, and maybe where some policy changes may have to occur? So the national town halls are going to occur every other month, right? Matter of fact, Natalie, August 24th, we're going to be doing the next town hall, and it's going to be on data and analytics and artificial intelligence on how you collect all this data and begin to, you know, see stuff, right? But then what we're doing is, at least for the moment, on a quarterly basis, we're doing what we call lightning rounds. And that is 90-minute sessions, 30 minutes of reverse pitch. So, for instance, you know, like we had, you know, State Farm, others on the phone, even the International Finance Corp out of the World Bank, which no one would know that they are investing in technology, okay? So these are not just insurance investors. So we're going to do 30 minutes of this reverse pitch. And those individuals that are part of the reverse pitch are going to sit in and listen to the technology pitches and then give some feedback. We're not shark tanking it. You know, this isn't trying to see who can score points. It's really right to, in real time, connect the dots in real time. Mm-hmm. So those are two events that, you know, quote unquote events that we're doing. We are, again, working with the Canon. So we're going to be looking at mentoring and office hours, all right? You know, those more traditional kinds of activities, those will not go away, all right? And then the other third thing that I'm pleased to share with you is that we will be announcing in August some collaborations. I'll let the secret out. Okay. So Wharton and MIT are very, very much drivers in this country of looking at financing and alternative financing and impact. Okay. So we're going to be tying in and connecting that network. And then the other part that we'll be announcing is a series of hackathons. And I'm not going to share just yet, but we will be announcing in September a local Houston resilience-focused hackathon with the insurance industry and non-traditional investors. So there's a couple of things that, you know, we're doing like everybody else does, but frankly, what's driving the urgency is we're right in the middle of hurricane season, as you mentioned at the top.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And I'm excited for, you know, the hackathon and these new partnerships that are coming about. I wonder if you could go into some of the things you've observed that, you know, the parties that are, you know, reverse pitching, what are they looking for from startups and technology? Because I think that's fascinating.
So part of what I think we've realized in all of the lead up to making the announcement of the hub and the accelerator initiative and all of this is that if you're an automotive or residential insurance carrier, or you're a, you know, an agency of some kind, you are looking for very specific solutions that can be done as a consumer product. All right. At the same, so again, that's like what I mentioned, car dealerships, aftermarket, you know, types of activities and all. But it's also how they leverage their client and customer base, right? So it is because there's this new generation of individuals that are in charge of a lot of aspects of customer engagement with the insurance industry. So they're looking at how to leverage social media and online tools, okay? So that's one aspect of it. The second piece is large-scale infrastructure. And this gets to right to what why we're in Houston and why the insurance industry asked us, and we launched this initiative in Houston, even though there's going to be ties to New York and Boston and all, is if you look at the economy in Houston, all right, we go from, you know, large facilities on the Gulf Coast. There's 12,500 homes being built out by Howard Hughes Development in the Bridgeland in far west Houston. That's 12,500 homes that can be have technology installed on or around those homes. So Houston is this phenomenal footprint of the economy that represents every other major city you can look at across the country. So flooding is, by the way, a part of this, Natalie, but we are also, so we're looking at droughts, floods, storm, spills and leaks. Sad but true. We have a lot of transportation, all right, on highways and all, fires, all right, and not in Houston per se, but, you know, there are earthquakes and tsunamis, okay? So anything where water is a driver of a disaster or challenge is what we're looking at. And then, Natalie, the last part is that they're also looking for integrated solutions. They're not looking for just, here, I've got one problem, I'm going to solve that problem, okay? So, for instance, why we're looking at some things with the energy sector, okay, is microgrids. This is microgrids of power, water, and data coming together, okay? We're looking at things that can spill, that can prevent spills and leaks and fires. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what they're telling us is, frankly, they are looking for so many different tools in their toolkit. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why this is so cool, because we're literally on the edge of something that has been talked about for 20 years. It's now beginning to happen. So their priorities are not only responsive to the immediate disasters, okay, but they're also collecting lots of lessons learned from Puerto Rico, from Houston, from the fires in California, whatever it is. They're collecting lots of information that now is telling them if they had this solution, they know it could prevent this type of impact.
I love that this is something that's obviously affects so much of the world, but Houston does have a real opportunity to become a major market for InsurTech or, you know, resilience innovation. So is that something you agree with? And are there things that, you know, Houston's innovation ecosystem, are there things that we have to overcome to really, you know, make that accomplishment and to establish that market?
Well, first off, I think I also said at the beginning, I'm a fourth generation Houstonian, so I'm a little biased. Okay. Yep. And also, well, let me mention one other thing, Natalie, that I failed to. Because we have so many consul generals outside of New York and Washington, D.C., this is the largest aggregate of international representation, right? And so we've been talking with the consul generals a lot about the technologies that they can bring in as a soft landing, right? But, all right, so what's a challenge that we need to address? The good news is there's a lot of great activities underway in Houston right now. No question asked. It is how what we are doing can be seen as complementary, not competitive with anybody else. We are not seeking to be competitive at all with Greentown Labs, with ION, with anybody, all right? That is the last of my interest, all right? Having done a lot of collaboration in Houston in the past, My focus is to figure out what we can do to look at their portfolios of companies and to help them get their portfolios connected to investors and to markets. So we've already identified over 3,800 companies, 400 specific investors, all right, who are all looking for solutions. So I hope that what we can do through the Canon is both on a local, regional basis, but again, obviously on a national basis, is connect portfolios of companies, cohorts of the other accelerators and incubators in a way that we can help move it faster for and with them to the insurance, both public and private markets that are out there.
That's great. Yeah. And it's going to be a collaborative effort that really makes a difference. So I like that we have these different elements, different organizations across Houston focusing on different things, and they go hand in hand, I think, like you said, more than competitively. So thank you so much for discussing all this with me today. I think we all have a lot more to think about of how you can really bring these innovations and new technology into this space. And I think we'll all be better for it for the next round, the next hurricane season, and hopefully be better prepared. So thank you so much for your time. And if anyone's interested in checking out some of these lightning rounds, highly recommend. It's really, really cool technology, really cool innovation happening around the world, but definitely applicable in Houston.
Thank you, Natalie. And thank you again for all the work that you and Innovation Map do. It's incredible. And it's just an honor to do whatever I can to help my hometown. And if it's through Innovation Map, you know you got my commitment. So thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Houston Innovators Podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review the show, and keep up with all things Houston innovation at innovationmap.com.